Okay, so picture this with me. It's 1852, and you are Matthew Farndale,
right,
a farmer from Yorkshire. You're about to trade those rolling green hills for, well, the vast Australian outback.
Wow.
And that leap, that's what we're doing today. We're tracing this family's journey,
right,
through all kinds of records, ship manifests, historical stuff, even those whispered stories, you know, the kind that echo down generations.
And it's a journey that really makes you, it challenges those assumptions right away.
Mm.
I mean, when you think about it, we always think like gold rush. That's the reason, right?
Yeah.
For going to Australia, for emigrating. But this family, the Farndales, they weren't chasing, you know, nuggets. This was something more, something that would last.
Exactly. It wasn't about the gold fever. They really were building a new life. And we're going to see, like, brick by brick on the other side of the world. And what we uncover about them and their lives and their motivations, well, let's just say it's going to be fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you love history or just love a good story.
Absolutely. And take Matthew himself, mm-hmm, born in 1793, Kilton, Yorkshire. He was,
yeah,
a farmer. He was a family man. Not exactly the image that comes to mind when you think intrepid pioneer, right?
No, not quite the rugged outback type.
No.
So we've got his twin brother, William, married Hannah Thompson in 1829. Two daughters, Mary Ann and Elizabeth.
Okay.
A regular Yorkshire family until they weren't.
And this is where it gets really interesting. So it's the 1850s, right?
Okay.
Newspapers are practically wallpapered with these ads. A new life in Australia. But these weren't just kind of vague promises. They,
right,
were selling a dream, like detailed descriptions of ships and fares and even, you know, what to expect when you get there.
So they weren't just like inviting. They were practically begging people to come.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the weight of that decision? I mean, to leave everything, you know, everyone you love for a place you'd only read about.
Yeah, it's almost impossible for us to grasp that, you know,
yeah,
with our instant connections and being able to just hop on a plane. This was a leap of faith for them.
Yeah.
A one-way ticket, knowing they might never see their loved ones again. Letters. That's it.
Wow.
That's the only thread connecting them across continents.
And what we know of their motivation only makes it more mysterious. They weren't looking to strike it rich in the gold fields, were they?
No.
This was about planting roots, seeking a different kind of wealth altogether.
It really speaks to a pioneering spirit.
Yeah.
We can barely comprehend it today. This wasn't just, you know, oh, we're crossing an ocean. This was stepping off the map as they knew it.
And step off they did. In 1852, the Farndales boarded a ship called the Argo, bound for Melbourne. Now, this wasn't just any vessel.
No, the Argo had a story of her own.
Oh.
Built for the transatlantic trade.
Okay.
American packet ship.
Mm.
And get this, in 1850, she actually ran aground.
Oh, no.
Off Long Island. They salvaged her, gave her a new lease on life, transferred her to the Australia route.
So the Farndales, embarking on a new life, they find themselves on a ship embarking on a new chapter of its own. This was the Argo's maiden voyage to Australia. But before we get swept up, 103 days at sea. 103 days.
Yeah, over 3 months. Crammed on a ship, hundreds of other people, all hoping for a better life. Conditions, they were cramped for sure, and sanitation.
I can imagine.
Basic.
Yeah.
At best.
Makes you grateful for modern plumbing.
Indeed.
Mm.
But you know what? Despite all that, the records actually show that the Argo, she provided decent rations.
Well, okay.
For the time. They even had a dedicated surgeon on board. I mean, I'm sure his skills were tested.
Of course. Yeah.
On a voyage like that.
A reassuring presence, though, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Sadly, not everyone fared well. Two passengers, brothers, in fact.
Oh, no.
They succumbed to illness during the journey. Just a stark reminder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of the fragility of life.
Especially back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every headstone tells a story, doesn't it?
It does.
For those who survived, though, a new chapter awaited. They finally landed in Melbourne, January 1853. Stepping off the gangplank into a city exploding with gold fever.
Melbourne, in 1853, oh, it was chaotic. Bustling, a melting pot. Transformed almost overnight from this quiet colonial outpost to a booming city. Flooded with people, every corner of the globe.
Yeah.
All chasing their fortune.
Imagine the sensory overload, the sheer energy.
Yeah.
But the Farndales, they made a surprising choice, one that set them apart from those obsessed with striking it rich, they turned their backs on the gold rush
and
headed west.
Wow.
Towards the untamed wilderness of Colac.
Makes you wonder, what were they thinking, leaving that frenzy of Melbourne behind?
Yeah. I know. Here they were in this brand new land, and they just walk away from the very thing that drew everyone there.
I know. It's like, it makes you think.
Yeah.
But Colac, that's telling. That wasn't some boom town. This was the Wild West, Victoria style.
Yeah.
A place where you had to be tough, work the land, build everything yourself.
Talk about a challenge. I mean, first, the journey from Yorkshire to Melbourne, and then another trek, just when they were probably getting used to solid ground again. What was that like?
Okay, so imagine this. You trade the cramped ship for a bumpy wagon, your stuff piled high, and all around you, the Australian landscape just stretches out. Rivers, weather, who knows what kind of wildlife.
Yeah, and let's not forget, they were traveling through a land that was already inhabited. They were seeing firsthand, I mean, the impact of European settlement on the Aboriginal people.
You're right. Their diaries actually mention these encounters with Aboriginal groups. And it's a reminder, it's a complex history. Tragic at times. It's really, you know, a whole other story.
Yeah, it definitely deserves its own look.
Mm.
But back to their journey, they finally reached Birrarrura, and first things first, a home, right?
Of course, but not just any home. They built their first shelter from wattle and daub, you know, traditional technique using what they could find. It's incredible. They had to learn to work with this new environment, adapting those old skills, but in a completely new place. It wasn't just about a house, though, was it?
No, it was about belonging.
Exactly. Making a place for themselves in this world that was so different. And pretty soon, their family started to grow.
As they do.
As they do. Matthew and Hannah's daughter, Mary Ann, she had married William Martin back in Yorkshire.
Okay.
And they made the journey, too.
Wow.
Started their family in Birrarrura. Their first child, Elizabeth, was actually born just 11 months after they arrived in Melbourne.
Talk about a whirlwind year. What about Matthew's other daughter, Elizabeth? Did she make the trip?
Oh, she did. Ended up settling in Colac nearby with her husband, William Darby.
Okay.
Now, William was a bit different. He actually tried his luck in the gold rush.
Oh, okay.
But that pull, you know, a family community must have been strong. They ended up running a general store.
Oh, wow. From gold fields to groceries. I can picture it. The bell on the door, shelves stocked with everything, the gossip, the news. Quite a change from the gold rush, I bet.
I'd say. And speaking of community, you know, Matthew himself, he was really important in establishing the Birrarrura Methodist Church.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It shows you, they didn't just want to live there. They wanted to be a part of it, shape it.
That's amazing. But life's never easy, is it? And the Farndales, well, their story has its share of both joy and sorrow.
It really is. Their story, it's like so many pioneer stories. It's resilience, loss, it's all woven in.
Yeah, it makes you think, looking back on it all, did it live up to those dreams, you know, the ones they carried all the way from Yorkshire?
We can only imagine, really.
Mm.
But we do know that Matthew Farndale, our Yorkshire farmer, Australian pioneer, he lived a long life. He passed away in 1884 at 90 years old.
That's incredible. Talk about a testament to fresh air and a pioneering spirit. And here's where it gets even, well, more interesting, I guess. Matthew's death, it wasn't just in the Birrarrura records. It was also inscribed on his twin brother's tombstone.
Oh, wow.
William, back in England.
Imagine that bond across continents. Mm. Like, their lives were intertwined, even with all that distance, just shows you, even when you build a new life, that connection, it remains.
Wow, it really gives me chills. And Hannah, what about her? I mean, she was right there with him through it all.
She lived a long life, too.
Yeah.
Outlived her husband, actually. Passed away in 1892 at 85.
They were tough, that generation.
They had to be, right? I mean, think about the challenges. Building a life from scratch in a place that's as beautiful as it is unforgiving.
It's true. But it wasn't a fairy tale ending, was it? Because in 1901, tragedy struck. That devastating bushfire.
Oh, no.
Swept through the region. Hawthorne, the farm, the one they built with their own two hands, it was gone.
Oh, that's just heartbreaking. All that work.
Yeah.
And to think, just gone. It's hard to imagine.
It really is. Makes you wonder how they found the strength to keep going.
I know, but they did. And their legacy, it lived on.
It did.
Like, their descendants, they spread out all over. Mary Ann, William Martin, they had a big family, kids, grandkids. They became teachers, shopkeepers, all sorts.
Yeah.
There's even one, Joan Dunstan, a fifth generation Farndale. She dedicated herself to researching her family's story.
That's amazing. Talk about taking genealogy to the next level.
Right. She picked up the torch, made sure their story, their struggles, their triumphs, it wouldn't be forgotten.
Exactly. And it wasn't just Matthew's direct descendants. There were other Farndales that came over later in the decades that followed. James Neville in the 1950s, Clifford and his family. The 1960s, it's like that first journey, that leap, it just rippled through generations, like a family echo across time. You know, it makes you realize the choices we make, the journeys we take, they don't just shape our own lives, do they?
Not at all.
They echo into the future.
They do.
Impacting generations in ways we can't even imagine.
The Farndale story, it's a testament to that, isn't it?
It is.
It's about immigration, about adapting, about loss, about resilience. But more than anything, it's about family and how strong the human spirit is, you know, that we can build a home no matter how far we are from where we started.
That is beautifully said. And for those listening, think of the Farndales and think about what stories are waiting in your family tree. What journeys did your ancestors take to bring you to where you are today? It's amazing, isn't it, that we each carry those echoes, countless journeys, countless stories just waiting to be discovered.